Good morning. Open your Bibles to Psalms 1. Psalms 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. That seat of the scornful hit me this morning as I was studying it. To scorn means the strong feeling of no respect for someone or for thinking. I'm going to have to put my glasses on. It's hard to read my own writing in the morning. To scorn someone is a strong feeling of no respect for someone and to think they are stupid and of no value. I think we're living in a day of scorners where everybody, that's kind of why I went off Facebook, everybody's scorning each other and they're sitting in a seat of a place of scorn, and God tells us to get out of that seat. So everybody's valuable, even if they're in a different party than you are, you know, and they're fighting, and a lot of our families have, everybody's on a different political view, and it's so sad how it's made some people stand up and think they're better than the other ones. It's by the blood of Jesus that we're anything, right? So we stay out of that seat of the scornful, and it's a challenge because we all are in this, and many of us are offended, and daily we all can be offended at each other. You know, you're not used to being with someone 24/7 and they aren't going off to work and they're kind of annoying and irritating you and everybody's emotions are on edge and everybody's angry. I mean, it's just like, so then again, we got to make sure we're not sitting in that seat of the scornful. And thank you for all those amens. And
amen.
Okay, so that just hit me this morning on the sitting of this. So even our neighbors, it's like they're, respect them. When you respect someone, you give them value. Even if you don't agree with them, we value. And so when you value someone because God loves them, it all of a sudden just says, you know, I'm going to focus on their value. That even if I disagree with whatever, now there's going to be many things coming in the future, maybe, who knows, that we might disagree on. Our goal as the body of Christ, this is going to be a challenge because one of the pastors I know, he got turned into the police by another pastor. And that's what happened in Germany, as you know. Everyone turned on each other, and everybody sat in the seat of the scornful and judged and criticized each other. Do not think it can't happen here. I'm already starting to see some of this already happening, and I'm sure you are too. But we want to make sure we're not in that seat. Because God said, do not be, or don't listen to the counsel of the world. Now, this is hard because we're in the world, and there's a lot of propaganda going around, and you have to find out what is propaganda and what's God really saying, what is truth and what is fake. There's so much misinformation, and we've talked about this before. We're in an information war. We are in an information war, and God told us in these end times many of these things. So what do we do as a believer? Today we're going to talk about trauma. I've been talking about fear, loss, discouragement, and today is trauma. People are traumatized, and people are traumatized because they're normal. Their job isn't the same. Their health, they're going through different things. Everybody's going through a different situation. How do we walk alongside someone in these times? Because we can't fix people. Do you know that? We can't fix them, but we can be there for them. You can wash some dishes for them. If their mother dies, you can bring flowers over. Don't throw them a scripture, and don't do this or that. That is not the time you want to get spiritual. They don't want to hear a scripture verse. They're hurting. Oh, they're in heaven now. Rejoice. Just be thankful. That is not what someone that's hurting needs. They need you to come over, bring food. They need you to stand by them. They need you to go to the gravesite. There's different things. They need you to be present. And no advice given. Sometimes they just need to know you're there. And that in itself is like a gift. The gift of you being there. Many people we know are going through a lot of things and more probably things to come as the end times go. How do we respond to trauma ourselves? Do you allow people to help you when you're traumatized, or you block them out? Do you refuse to be comforted? We're going to talk about comfort too. But all these things are things as a believer, there's things that we have to learn how to walk alongside each other in traumatizing times, and also to let other people walk beside us. We need each other. We need the comfort of a friend, probably more than you ever thought you did. And that's why this isolation thing has been so hard. God didn't create us to disconnect. He created us to be there for each other, comfort one another, you know? So we're going to talk about that because many are walking through, and I was going to go through the whole thing, but I'm just kind of rambled on. But verse 4, the ungodly are not so. They don't know how to be comforted in this hour. They're angry. They're mad. They're going to fight. They're going to rebel. Not so as Christians. We have a different response. So we have to, first of all, what we've been talking about, guard our own heart, which is a daily thing. If you have a garden, you know, 2 days, weeds show up. I didn't plant you, but you showed up. Attitudes constantly show up in our lives that we got to judge ourselves, knock that off, whatever. It's a constant job. And what the enemy wants us to do is to focus on each other. And the moment we're doing that, we're sitting in that seat of the scornful. So we got to stay out of that seat and judge ourselves and then be there for people, not say, well, I thought you had more faith in that. Why did this happen to you? All the comfort we've had, so much comfort, in the past years in some of these churches we've been in, that is not comforting. That is not helping. That is making people feel more shameful, putting people down, making you feel superior that you're healed and they're not. Well, they just need more information. You know, as if just, you know, I just heard a sermon the other day. I was trying to follow someone that's in the NAR just to figure out where they're going. I couldn't even finish the message. It was just like, well, if you're sick, it's because you don't control your thoughts. You don't have control over your words. Basically, you're destroyed for lack of information. And I just thought, and you are a false teacher. Amen. I just shut it off. I'm sorry, I can't follow you anymore, but I wanted to know. Because I know these movements are coming, they're coming to a head here real quick. But anyway, we're in a day, there's a lot of propaganda in the church, out of the church. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They don't know the Lord, and their information is going to be from the world. So we as a Christian, how do we handle what we're going through? So Psalms 1, read that whole thing when we have more time. But many people are going through pain in their minds, in their body, losses. They're suffering. They're grieving. My next-door neighbor who basically raised me in Brainerd, she's in a nursing home. She loved kids. She adopted so many kids. She has so many, 7 kids and tons of grandchildren. And to see her behind those plexiglass, and she couldn't see her grandbabies, it just broke my heart. As I know how much she loves her kids, grandkids. And this is a very sad. And think of them, how lonely and sad. And all you can do is just be there. Yeah. Just be there for them. Just wave outside the window, but let them know you're there at least. So this is a very traumatizing time for everybody. And we have to really try to give the right spiritual medicine and not the wrong medicine, which I'm talking about being comforting, not vexing. There's some people, when my mom died and my dad died, I didn't even want to talk to. They were so uncomforting and throwing scriptures at you and telling you how much better they are. Well, they are better off in heaven, but right now I'm hurting and I have to process this loss. And if you don't process losses, they all clump together, and pretty soon you're just pretty much out in weirdo land because you've never dealt with any trauma. And now you have accumulation of hurts built on each other, and now you're so spun out because you won't let yourself grieve. You won't let you face the pain you're dealing with. It's okay to cry. It's okay. It's like a wave, you know, coming in. First, the waves are so strong, and through time, months, years, those waves do decrease. You know, then you get a little wave at a memory of a year, an anniversary or something. But it takes time, and nobody can rush you through your process. And that's what I think the church has done. They rush people right through and try to put a Band-Aid on. You're fine. You got this scripture. And they end up really strange people in about 10 years. They're mean. They're cranky. They get very religious-spirited. They get mean-spirited. And God doesn't want us to have that scornful, mean spirit. And when we just get scriptures and we throw them at people, it's really a form of, I know more than you do. And we've been going through this for, 40 years, many of us in these churches. And we didn't know why it was so shaming. Well, now we know that wasn't right. So how do we walk through challenges? How do we help somebody that maybe is totally not even a Christian? They're not even someone in your family. They don't agree with anything. How do you walk through these times? As we know, September 11th in 2001, America was traumatized. It's never been the same. Well, now we're going through another time of traumatization. We're never going to be the same. So we're going to help people, help ourselves first, get ourselves together, and then be there for other people. This isn't a time for us just to be selfish and think about ourselves. Because I believe as you give out and help others and serve others, that's when you get blessed by God. He keeps blessing you because you're blessing other people. Don't get selfish and, you know, scared and isolated. It's like your blessings get blocked. Just obey Him. Whatever God's telling you to do, do what He tells you to do. That's where your comfort is. Not in what someone else is telling you to do. Follow His leading. He knows what you need. He knows the people that He wants to be around you. He's assigned people in our life. And we block those people from us, we're blocking a part of God from us. He wants people, let people love you. Let people be there. And that takes humility. So let me go quickly here through. Once again, our world is facing trauma. What is trauma? It's more than a state of crisis. You have an abnormal event. 9/11, for instance, it was an abnormal event. The world changed. Nothing went back to the way that we knew it. It's unpredictable. Now, everything's unpredictable. It's a new way of living, unplanned. It's inconvenient. It uproots our lives, and you feel unsafe. And why do we feel unsafe? Because our place of safety has been disrupted. Stuff that we used to do, now it's been disrupted. Everything now is different, and we have to shift, and we have to focus on what's coming. And some of us daily, we watch what's next, you know. Because our place of refuge, our houses have been invaded. I remember the first church we had on 900 Lincoln, we had a beautiful old Baptist church, stained glass windows. I don't know if you remember that. And one night, someone didn't leave. Two guys, I think, didn't leave. I can't remember the exact story. It was way back then, but they robbed the church. Everybody went out. They stole all of the musical equipment, all of the speakers. Everything just musical was stolen. And after that, I think they had security put on then after that. But that was rare in those days. You didn't do that like we do now, put security alarms and stuff on our houses. But I remember that invading feeling of, why would somebody hide in a church and steal all the music equipment? You feel robbed. You feel like, now, are they here today? Are they hiding? I mean, it was just like a feeling of invasion. Yeah, you're totally, totally violated. And that's how trauma feels. Something happened, an event happened that totally now you feel invaded. And we have to adjust. Our mind goes into some kind of a chaos. And it's happening, nothing because of you. And I want to tell people, when you've been traumatized, it's not your fault. There's not a defect in you that because you're so whatever, this happened to you. Things happen in life no matter who you are. And we have to learn this abnormal event has changed the way I see everything. When I lost my mom, she died young. She was only 44. That seemed really old back then. But now 44 doesn't seem so old. Our whole family fell apart because the mothers are the glue. And once the glue's gone, you know, there's no one to come and say, come and do that. It's like dad doesn't do that as well. Some dads are great at that, but in my family, it was my mom. And everything was different. We never saw Ray moved away. Rita moved away. My sister Randy moved away. Rita went to Miami. One went to Oregon. It's just like all of a sudden that event disrupted everything. You know what I'm saying? The people in my family all scattered. But in these events today that are abnormal, people are scattering. People are not showing, do I have a job? Do I not have a job? Will I have a job right now, but will I next month? That puts stress over you. You have no idea what you're carrying. And you don't want to think about it, but in the back of your mind, a lot of these things are inside you like a pressure cooker building, 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 because we've never faced these situations and circumstances before. So trauma leaves us feeling unsafe, unsettled. You just don't know quite, what do I do now? This is what is normal in trauma. Just so you know, this is what everybody is going through right now. When you're going through abnormal events, people are traumatized. Some more than others. Some handle it different than others. Some are more peaceful. Some are more violent. Some are more angry. Everybody is different depending upon how they were raised, the situations in which they're raised, how unsafe they feel, how mad they are. We're getting into a world now where there's becoming a lot of anger. And I just say pray for these election coming up, because the last 4 years it was horrible. Multiply that now. What do we have to expect? But no, life basically is no longer predictable. So in 2007, a bridge collapsed in Minneapolis. It was a very negative event, and it left people uprooted. Their lives felt chaotic. Well, now, is it safe to go across another bridge? You know, I've just this fear of the unknown. And if that happened, well, now I don't feel safe. If an elevator breaks, you're in. Some people never will go on an elevator again. They had a bad experience. They couldn't get out of that elevator, and they got claustrophobic, and I'm taking the stairs, you know. So people just wonder, can I trust? Can I trust? Can I trust? Who can I trust? And then your friends flake out. It's like, okay, they went back in the world. Now they're drunk. They're drinking. They, you know, I can't. Wow, I thought they were a strong believer. Now they're, this wiped them out. You know, people are falling all over the place in all different places and categories. So it leaves you feel safe, unsafe, and it fills your life with fear, a loss of normal. My world is out of control. And I found out the more controlling a person is, if they lose control, the more controlling they become. To try to bring order out of that chaos, they're trying to bring everything back in. They actually, the control people get more controlling. The upsets of life are bringing it out. And a lot of people that lived in chaos, alcoholic parents and stuff, they had to be the oldest, whatever, they lived in chaos. Their form of control is order, but sometimes they just go too far and they step over, and they're clueless that they're doing it. But that to them, I live in chaos and I got to bring order. And then other people are like, knock it off. Well, to them, this is what I've lived in before, and this is how I brought it back, and this is order. See what I mean? So everybody's personalities are going to be heightened and the way they deal with things. So a lot of you have seen or heard about an aerosol spray in the back of a window in a hot car. And it can detonate, and what does it do? It shatters the window. It's so hot, it explodes. And that force goes right through the window. Well, this is people's emotions right now. People are exploding under hot circumstances and pressure. They don't know where they're going to go. They've been trying to get loans. They can't get a loan. They don't. People are exploding right now. And if they're in your life, we have to know how to handle that. Don't chew them out. Don't get, because that's what the devil, he wants to divide us. And as we study history in Germany, the church divided. First, he divided the churches so they had nowhere to go. We can never let that happen. And trust me, many shall be offended. We just have to go higher in the Lord. We can't, and I'm talking about all of us, we all are going to be faced in the days ahead with opportunities to be offended. The Bible says so. One of the signs of the end times. We have to purpose in our heart to guard our heart, not to sit in the seat of the scornful, even though we have a right to. God wants us not to divide, because he wants his church. He wants his church united. Now, the false church is going to rise, and they're going to bring signs and wonders. They're going to start bringing the seven mountains, and all. They're starting to use their platforms to brainwash people and to get them into serving different, you know, different spirits and gods and stuff. This is the hour where this is going to emerge. We've studied that. We're ready for that. We weren't ready for some of this other stuff. But because of that, we're at least ahead of ahead of the angle a little bit in some ways, and that God showed us what was going to happen to buildings. We knew some of these buildings will never reopen. And some of this is by design. The devil doesn't want Christianity, but he doesn't mind his religion. So you're going to see that one world religion rise, which we've talked about. And guess what? Nothing you can do about it. We pray, make sure that you're free. And there again, don't sit in the seat of the scornful, because there's a lot of good Christians that are going to be deceived. We need to pray for them. We need to witness to them. Now is the time when they start bringing out some of these symbolisms and these masters and all these things they're doing, show them what you've learned about the New Age. This is the New Age movement in different forms, but it's still this new world religion that's coming and emerging, that we are now one with the whole world. We are one. Now, this is a season. We're going to see it, I think, very, very shortly. I've already seen some of it. But abnormal, unexpected events impact our emotions, and it creates chaos in the brain. You literally don't think right when you have chaos. I remember when my son got in a car accident, and it was a miracle he lived. The son came and he totaled his car. He didn't see this car coming, and he was in such shock and chaos. And all I could tell him is, we can replace a car, we can't replace you. But I shouldn't have done this, and I shouldn't have. We shame ourselves when we miss it. You need someone to stand beside you and say, shaming yourself, belittling yourself, putting yourself down, getting into self-pity is not good. But we don't know you're doing it. We don't know we're doing it unless we have a good friend or mate or someone that comes alongside and pulls us out of that. Because these are the seasons of our emotions going all over the place. You might think you're great today. Well, wait till tomorrow. Something might set you off, you know. And feeling off balance. For about 6 months now, I've had vertigo. I woke up one day and probably an inner ear sinus. That's why I sound funny on YouTube. People go, what's wrong? I've had sinus issues for 40 years probably. And finally I got surgery about how many years ago? 7 years ago? 6 years ago? Something like that. And never totally did it right. So sometimes I've never had a sinus infection since I had that surgery, except for at Christmas time. Oh my gosh, was that a wapo. Bad one, and it affected my ears. Yeah, I made that up. And then I stood up and I got dizzy and I couldn't. If you've ever had vertigo, and the weird thing, it's almost gone now, but I have to do these somersault type exercises to get those crystals back in your head, they call it. But wow, what a trip, because I haven't been able to drive and all that. Off balance, you don't know if you're going to fall. It's, you know, thank God it's getting better now. But it was at one point, I didn't really want to tell anybody how bad it really was. You know how we are in the faith message. We don't discuss anything negative. Because, you know, that's just unbelief. But thank God I'm coming through it. But that's what happens when we go through an event of trauma. You're off balance. You feel like you're dizzy. I want normal. Where's the center? How come this isn't coming back? You know, we go through all of these emotions. And basically they say it's from the inner ear. And as the water gets out of your ear, all that stuff, things balance back. It's basically, for me, it's basically been a harmless thing. But still, trauma causes us to feel off balance. We just don't know how to get our footing. And what do we do? Where are we supposed to go? This is why we need each other. We need to pray together. We need to assemble together when one's discouraged. And you don't even know you're discouraged. You just feel heavy. You just feel like, what's wrong with me? We're grieving. We're grieving. We're grieving the loss of normal. Just going out for a restaurant for your coffee and your friends, or just doing this little things, you're like, oh, now I got to do this again? Sit from one end of the couch to the other end of the couch? So people are grieving, and you have to understand you're grieving, and it's okay. But you need someone with you sometimes to just be there. It helps lift everything. Now, I want to share just a couple things here in closing about somebody that had some bad things happen in their life, and they didn't handle it right. Because you're going to see a lot of this weird stuff. When you're a Christian, we know where to go. And we know this is scriptural, a lot of these things that are happening. But there's a lot of people that are unsaved that are clueless. They think everything's just normal. It's just a matter of time. They don't see the Agenda 21. They have no idea of anything, what's sustainable, what's not, that things are changing. And they don't have any hope for the future. We know this life is not it. Still, it's hard when you know the world's systems are being shaken. It's not easy. I don't care how spiritual you are. To see something shaken you love is tough. It's hard. But people that don't know the Lord, that don't even have hope for the future, wow, think of where they're at. So be thankful. And that's the other thing, I think, to help us get through these times. If we're not thankful, you know, our enemies come in. We become fearful. everything's a fr- but when you start being thankful, and I was teaching my little granddaughter this, she was like, I don't like it when my dad and mom have to teach me now. She wants me to teach her, you know. And I do help a little bit, but very little. But she, I don't want, I want to come and have you. I said, you know what? You're not thankful. I said, I never did have a dad that once helped me with homework or mother at that point. I said, your mom and dad both every day help you do your homework. They love you and care. Well, you know, it's being at home and all this and that. And she's only 8. But I told her dad, I said, she's unthankful. You got to teach her how to be thankful for mom. Amen. Be thankful for dad. Be thankful they take the time. There's some kids that parents are alcoholics and they don't care if you pass or not. So you have to develop, and not just children, we. Okay, this was shaking, but what's left? Oh, I have to be thankful for that. Be thankful. And that's how we keep our joy. We start thanking the Lord through thankfulness, because if we get in that seat of the scorner, then all of a sudden we can, all we do is criticize. We criticize. And what happens when we get critical? We lose our thankfulness. I'm thankful for you. I'm so thankful God put you in my life. I'm so thankful that whatever it is that God's provided in these hard times, all of a sudden the lights come on and those spirits have to leave. We're either thankful or we're unthankful.
That's right.
So Sarah Winchester, back in the 1800s, she was rich. She inherited millions. She was the widow of William Winchester, who was the firearm rifle company. You know how rich and wealthy. She today inherited, it would be $543 million. Today, that in that how much it would be. Plus 50% of the Winchester Repeating Arms Company she just inherited. So today it would be like she was being made $26,000 a day she made. $26,000. I mean, what are you going to do with $26,000 every day? So she had a trauma and a traumatic event, and she lost her only child. Now, some people never recover from trauma because they don't have someone to help them through it, and they don't know how to get out. They stay stuck. Being stuck is the worst thing. And to refuse comfort is horrible, because if your child dies and people come and help you, you refuse it. I'm going to go to my grave dying and being sorrowful. That's a choice. And we have to choose, after the trauma leaves, I got to get out of this. I'm going to press forward. I'm going to move on. I'm going to, you know, be thankful for what I have left. And this is a process. But she got very traumatized. She lost her baby, and then her daughter actually had a disease in which the body withered away. It deteriorated. And back in the 1800s, I don't know what it was exactly, but they did. Can you imagine watching your baby die little by little and just wither away? Broke her heart. Well, then 15 years after that baby died, her husband died early of tuberculosis. So she was traumatized, left alone with, can you imagine being a millionaire, having all the money you could ever want with no one to share it with, no one to love, all the people she loved. So what did she do? She did a bad thing. She went to a medium. She was, instead of going to the Lord, people are going to go somewhere. When they're traumatized, they're either going to go to God or they're going to go to the witchcraft or to their societies. Everybody goes somewhere. So that's why I say we need the Lord. We need to assemble ourselves. We need fellowship. Iron sharpens iron. We all just don't even know what we do for each other. Sometimes you have an attitude and someone else will say something they don't even know, and they're just like, oh, wow. Or else, you know, things happen supernaturally when we're together, because it's God's body and he's in our midst. So I call this the house of chaos. She had a house, and they call it the Winchester Mystery House. And you know what the Winchester was? It was the gun that won the West. And here she is, millionaire, going to this medium in a loss. And she goes to this medium, and he tells her, the ghosts are mad at you. Now, she went through necromancy trying to channel her husband. They're trying to get knowledge that God doesn't want you to have. Going through necromancy, it's dead. The people there are dead. They are not supposed to give you information. But if people don't know the Lord, they want to control the future. So they go to places and spirits getting, you know, get their hand, palms red and all this stuff that God tells us in Leviticus here. I'll give you the scripture in a minute. But he tells us not to do that because you get unclean spirits. Right. You actually get spirits by trying to find out knowledge you're not supposed to have in the unknown realms, demonic witchcraft stuff. So she goes to this medium and he says, the spirits of the American Indians, the Civil War spirits that have died, all the soldiers, everything that was shot by those guns, those spirits of those dead people are haunting you and you're cursed. She's like, oh, he said, but there is a way out. And that way out, to make a place for these spirits so they'll have a home and you'll confuse them and they won't kill you and you will have eternal life. Wow, that sounds, wow, she was pretty excited about that. Let me put this on here. Then they told her, in the Winchester Mystery House, she had to move, so she moved to San Jose, California. It is now a historical landmark, marked tourist and attraction center. The construction went on for 38 years nonstop. 38 years. She never stopped building, because if she stopped building, it would make those spirits mad. Think about religion, how mean it is, and how you got to do stuff to make God happy, and God's mad, and you got to decree, you got to do this, you got to do that, and then you can go. I mean, these works, instead of the finished work of Jesus and relaxing and resting and being thankful, they're all still working. And this woman worked really hard. She used all her money to build up these houses, and she had more than one, but she went to this Boston medium. And while channeling a necromancy, her late husband apparently, they came forward and the ghosts were haunting her from all the dead through the guns. She had to move west and continually build them a house that would please them. And this would give her eternal life. Okay, now I'm going to give you a couple facts. First of all, in Leviticus 19, spiritual people, that they seek information beyond the grave. It says in 19:3, don't turn to mediums. It makes you unclean. You don't give place to the devil. Don't be looking for him. He'll accommodate you. So the Winchester Mystery House has 160 rooms, including 40 bedrooms, 40 staircases. Go look at the documentary of this house. 13 bathrooms, 6 kitchens, 10,000 window panes. She's trying to make her spirits happy. She's trying to make those ghosts not mad and kill her. She wants eternal life, so she works harder. She's traumatized, but she's doing stupid stuff. 2,000 doors, 52 skylights, 47 fireplaces, 3 elevators, 2 basements, and get this, just 1 shower for her. So all these other bathrooms didn't even work. But the ghosts don't need a shower, so why put a shower in for them? Yes, you read that right. Just 1 shower. There were if there are 47 fireplaces in the house, you'd think there'd be 47 chimneys, right? No, there's only 17. Some of the fireplaces were wood-burning, gas, or coal to make the spirits happy. Boy, the devil is sure a hard taskmaster, isn't he?
Yeah.
And she was obsessed with guess which number? 13. She was a spiritualist. There are 13 hooks in some closets, 13 blue stones in a special window she designed, 13 ceiling panels in the entrance hallway, 13 windows in the 13th bathroom, and on and on and on she went with her obsession with the number 13. Traumatized, walking the wrong way, consulting the wrong spirits, getting no more peace, no comfort, more confusion, more work. I hope the spirit's happy now. Think he needs another bathroom? Do you think that'll make him happy? Sure. Aside from the obnoxious ones, like staircases that led into walls, she just had to keep building. Even it made no sense. She had no architect. She was the architect. She'd make up her rooms as they went. So she had staircases which led into walls, windows that, I mean, you think this is funny, but really this is what people do. If they have no direction from the Lord, they go this way, then they stop, then they go this, you know, got to do drugs, we got to drink, we got to do that. What is it? It's like going nowhere. trying to get high and do stuff and find peace, and what? You come down and here you're the same. There's no peace for the wicked. So the walls and windows that look into other rooms, there's a variety of architectural oddities that lurk within her house. One that sticks out in the mind long after visiting the house is a room with no floor or ceiling that is tucked. Well, that way they could really fly up and down, you know. Yeah. Woof, woof, woof. So a room with no floor or ceiling that is tucked between her bedroom and the undeniable spooky séance room. Time magazine ranked her house is one of the biggest attractions of the most 10 most wanted haunted houses, the top 10 haunted houses and places in the Guinness Book World Record for the longest continuous house construction, 38 years. So enough of that, and in closing, trauma, people do crazy stuff. They seek crazy advice. She's walking in the council of the ungodly, right? Trauma leaves you with memories, frightening memories, a sense of constant danger. If that happened, it's going to happen again. Now what's going to happen? You feel disconnected. You feel disconnected from people. You feel isolated. You feel like nobody understands what I'm going through. You are unable to trust people. You feel helpless. You feel severe or mental pain. Psalms 34:18, the Lord is near to those who are discouraged. God's near to us. Even though sometimes we don't feel he's there, he's there. He's there. He saves those who have lost all hope. He gives us hope. Somehow one day you have no hope. Pretty soon all of a sudden you see a little ray of hope and you're like, and then God comes through. He provides for you. Something supernatural happens. Somebody blesses you with something. David was afflicted by trauma. In 1 Samuel 17, 1 through 52, David was chased by Saul. Death felt near. Every day he thought he was going to die. Saul was going to kill him. Can you imagine living in the fear of death every day? He was traumatized. 2 Samuel 13, his son Amnon was killed at the command of Absalom. One son of his killed the other son. How would you like to be a parent of kids that killed each other? Don't you think that would be traumatizing? Absalom later died a violent death in 2 Samuel 13, 28 through 29. I'm sure David thought, how can life go on? And that's why in the Psalms you hear a lot of his heart, a lot of his pain. The wicked are against the righteous. He did nothing wrong, but Saul wanted to kill him. Why? Because that wicked spirit, that evil spirit, there's so many motives that motivate people that are wicked. And David just had to run for his life. So he wrote the Psalms. Then there's giant guilt and blame. When people go through trauma, we want them fixed. This is the problem we're facing right now. I want you fixed. Okay, you're going through this. Well, you know, you have surgery. Well, you better be better in 2 days. We need to get together for coffee again. Well, you better get over this right now because, you know, I've given you a week. Well, so you lost your job. Oh, well, just do this. Just do this. Someone that has built their whole business up. Well, just get over it now. Just go on unemployment. You'll be fine. They're grieving. It was their father's business, their grandfather's. Now it's theirs, and now it's gone. Well, you should be over that by now. Look at all the good things that are. People are just so insensitive, and they want to fix people. Well, guess what? You can't fix anyone, and I can't fix anyone. Only God can fix us. Only God can fix us. When we can't fix people, this is grief. Sharers, we can share people's grief. When someone's going through someone's, what's our place in these end times? How do we walk along our friends when they go through something? Maybe you'll be the next one to go through it, and they'll do it with you also. We need to learn how to do this. In closing, you can never fix an individual's grief, but you can wash the sink full of dishes. You can listen to them talk. Listen to them talk. They're grieving. They're hurting. They've got to get it out. Let them get out the anger. Let them get out the pain, and don't say nothing. It's hard for us to sit and listen to people that are going through stuff without giving them advice. The worst thing we can do for someone that's going through trauma and grief is give them advice. Unless they ask for it, we need to listen to them. And this is a lesson for all of us, because we all like to talk. But listening is something we got to do when people are going through a lot of the things, and even going through surgeries. It's painful. It's scary. There's a different day that people are going through things. Don't just give them flippant advice. You know, if they ask for it, fine. If they don't want your advice, just be there. Be there. Call. If they don't pick up the phone, let them have a day. If call them again, someday they'll pick up. If they don't be offended. Well, I told them I was here then. They won't pick up the... Now, what do? We're moving over into the seat of the scornful. Now we're upset. After all, I was there. I gave them money. I gave them a blessing, and I get nothing back. See how easy it is for all of us to just get in that seat that fast? It's just... And the days ahead, trust me, it's going to be easier. And we've got to be aware. I'm not going to sit in this seat. Because I got... If I'm in that seat, God tells me right now, I'm sitting in the seat of the scornful. But his delight should be in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. And if we're walking in the counsel of God, we're going to be what? Tree planted by the waters that bringeth forth its fruit, joy and peace in due season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do, he shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. Look at, she is not so. Mrs. Winchester, she was not so. She was driven here and there, confusion. Her own house showed how messed up she was in her mind. And people are messed up in their mind right now if they don't have Jesus or if they're backslidden. So listen to them talk. Take their kids to the park. Give them a break. Let them have some time off. Let them be alone. Sometimes you don't know if you haven't been a parent or had children around. Parents need a break. Someone to just say, I'll take, and don't charge them. Just say, I'll take them. You know, take a bath. Be by yourself. Just have some quiet time. Do you know how much... You can't pay for good friends. You can't buy them. They're assigned to you by God, but he'll lift them if you don't treat them right. He'll assign them someone else if you're mean to them. I've seen that. If you disrespect the people God puts in your life, he'll remove them. You know, he'll wipe your feet off. It's time to go to bless someone else. Be thankful for the people that we have in our lives right now. We have no idea what's coming, but if we're all together, we can help each other through some of the darkness and shine some light and, you know, lift the load. And I remember way back, 40-some years ago, came home from vacation one day, and Barb, you probably don't remember, groceries. You had a whole bunch of groceries, and everybody bought us groceries from the church, and we just lived in a little tiny apartment. But boy, was that ever nice to have groceries and to just know people are thinking of you and love you. And let's not stop doing that in this hour. Amen. Be there. Be present. Don't try to change them. Love them and just say, we're here for you. We're your friends. It's a gift that nobody can buy. So the words of World War II vet said, I'm present and reporting for duty. We have to be present and reporting for duty. There was a season where no one could come. And I remember you guys came, and then you guys came later. You don't know what that meant. I hate preaching to nothing. It's like I get no feedback. I get no nodding heads. It's just like, it's just so good to talk to people. And that's why before in the old days, they used to put me on TV, and they'd say, just talk to the camera. I wouldn't do it. They had to catch me live. I don't like sitting talking. They're not there. Some people love that. You know, I was watching this one preacher. He goes, oh, I'm here today with you. I'm going to tell you what I'm wearing and where I'm going. I was like, no scriptures or anything. It's all about you. And I was just like, oh, gross. This guy is addicted to seeing himself and listening to himself speak. But anyway, sorry for that. In the words of a World War II vet, I'm present and reporting for duty. People are going through mental health problems. Fear. Fear faces all of us. Fear, loss, discouragement, and trauma. What do we do? We're there for each other. And this is... I'm really trying to close. You guys are just such good listeners today. The grief path, this is just important. Just hang on a couple more. The grief path is not a brief path. Just because you had a trauma doesn't mean now we can get over it right now. You have to know it's a marathon. It is not a sprint. It's not, okay, well, your daughter died now. It's been a year. Really, don't you think it's time to move on? You can't make somebody's path different than the way they are as a person. So you have to squelch your desire to start quoting Bible verses and shove a book in their face or give answers. Not helpful, but I'm here and I'm present. Psalms 10:19, don't talk so much. You keep putting your foot in your mouth. Be sensible and turn off the flow. Babbling brook. Let them talk. Closing with the last story. Trauma is horrible, but we have a choice in it. We have a choice in it. None of us know. Was it Michigan? Two dams broke this week?
Yeah.
People had to relocate. How traumatic. We don't know what's going to happen in the future, but we have a choice in it. Live the rest of your life as a memorial service. Limping to your funeral, sitting in the seat of the scornful, mad. What happened? Why wasn't God here? Where was this? Where was that? No, 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 no. You know people like that. Or trust in the Lord. God, my life is yours. I just thank you for letting me live. I thank you for the great years I have. I think the more you thank him, the more you see good. The more scornful you are, the more you live in bad and you're limping to your own funeral. So in all this trauma, we have a choice to isolate, to get angry. That's why I stopped Facebook. Everybody's angry. And I understand why they're angry. And they have a right to be angry. But I get angry reading their anger. And I thought, I don't need that. I don't want to hear their anger. And I have to deal with my own. Don't feed it. In 1952, before you were probably even born, in the Olympics, there was a Hungarian boy, and he stood on a target, and because of his perfect right hand and eye coordination, he hit the target every single time. He won a gold medal in shooting for himself and for Hungary. Remember, this is 1952 Olympics. Then 6 months later, after he won that wonderful medal, that gold medal, he lost his right arm. Can you imagine the thing that he lived for and everything else? But I want you to see what he did. He was thankful for what was left. He decided, I'm not going to go down and be angry and be mad and be scornful. This time he used his left hand and he hit the bullseye again and again. He won another gold medal. He made a choice not to be limited by his limitations. I thought, wow. And that scripture in 2 Corinthians we never got to, that we need to give what? Comfort. Who comfort us all in our tribulation. What we're going through, God said, I'm going to be there to comfort you. And then he tells us to take that comfort, which we have in any trouble, and comfort others. Amen. We're going to be more blessed as we comfort other people. We get our eyes off ourselves and our own fears, and all of a sudden, God's taking care of us. Amen. Father, we thank you for helping all of those that are going through trauma right now, wherever they're watching and viewing this. All over the world, we know there's events happening. But Father, we thank you that you are the God of comfort. And I pray for everyone to have good friends that can just be present for duty, just to help them what they need help for, not trying to be too spiritual or not giving them this answer or that. Right now, we need each other. We need the love of our friends. Of our family. We need love of our bosses, different people, understanding. They're all trying to figure this stuff out too. So give us the grace to help us understand their process, that we can get out of our own mess and help them get out of theirs. And supernaturally, you comfort us all. In Jesus' name, everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.
Apart from you, we can do nothing. So we depend.